Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot, and it is Wednesday, and that means it is time for a visit from the health unit today. We welcome back Kim McCann, Senior Public Health Inspector. Kim, welcome back to Lake 88.
Thanks, Bob.
And today we are going to be talking about bats and rabies. Well, let's get right to it, Kim. Mm-hmm. Why are we concerned about bats?
Yeah, so bats do have the potential of carrying diseases such as rabies and histoplasmosis, which can affect us humans and animals. They can also pass on distemper from themselves to your household pets too. We know that approximately 3% of rabies actually carry the rabies that bats actually carry the rabies virus. And rabies is one of those viruses that if it is left untreated, it is fatal, unfortunately. It does affect the central nervous system, and it's passed from an infected animal through saliva, usually to another animal or to a human. The most common sign of rabies in bats is their inability to fly. So you may see them, you might find them dead on the floor, you might see them flopping around on the floor. So that's usually, you know, the common symptom of rabies. Histoplasmosis is different. It's actually found in the feces of bats. And it's one of those things that if you do breathe it in, it is a fungus. So if you do breathe it in, it can actually cause some lung disease. So if you are cleaning up bat rabies or bat feces that you might find in your home or in your garage, it is important to take personal protective measures such as wearing a mask and try to keep the dust down. So don't sweep it. You could wet it with some water and maybe a little bit of bleach and water, and then scoop it up with a shovel, for example. It is important to remember that, you know, sometimes a bat will enter our home accidentally. And if that happens, usually the bat is healthy and it's just looking for a way out. So try to open up a door or a window and confine the bat to a room, open up a door and a window and just let the bat fly out.
Yeah, and that can certainly be a challenge. I have a story about that, but that's for another time, of course. But really, when you talk about rabies, I just want to really mention here that if it is untreated, it is fatal. It's a terrifying, terrifying condition.
Yeah, absolutely. It is terrifying and it is fatal. So once a human or an animal actually starts to experience symptoms of rabies, it's too late at that point. The good thing is we do have what we call post-exposure prophylaxis. So if you've been bitten by a rabid animal, we can start you on the treatment right away and it would prevent rabies from actually taking your life, essentially.
Okay. So why are we more likely to encounter bats at this time of year?
Yeah, so in June, the baby bats are born. And, you know, now we have bats that are maturing, they're trying to find their way in the world. So they're leaving their I won't say nests, but they're leaving their where they've been born. And they're, like I said, they are trying to find their place in the world. So sometimes bats do like to find their own colonies, and they'll do that either in an attic of a house or a barn. Sometimes they'll roost up in trees and in other types of buildings as well. They do go into hibernation between November and March, and some species will actually hibernate in attics of buildings, or some will go to caves, which is, you know, what we usually know or think of when we think of bats. It is important to remember that bats are nocturnal animals, so they do come out and they do feed at night, and they're most active about 2 to 3 hours after sunset. And during the daytime, they will actually they'll sleep up in a tree, or if they do happen to get in their house, you may find them behind a curtain or something like a place like that where they're sheltered. They are actually very beneficial in our environment. They're great pest controls. They eat up to about 3 times our body weight in insects. So great mosquito control.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And yeah, I mean, you mentioned that they, you know, prefer caves. We prefer them to be in caves as well, rather yeah. than our attics, for sure. So A lot of people do encounter bats. Again, I could tell you a story, but I'm going to hold off. A lot of people do encounter bats. What should we know about these meetings, we'll call them?
Yeah. So if you do encounter a bat, where a bat has landed on you, or you think you've been bitten by a bat, don't forget that there is a potential that rabies could have been transmitted. So there is different types of contact. A direct contact is when a bat has actually touched you or has landed on you or has bitten you, or scratched you even. And then it's very rare, but, you know, saliva from an infected bat, if it got into your nose or eyes, that would also be considered direct contact as well. If you've been bitten or scratched by a bat, it is really important to wash that wound out with warm water and soap, and then get medical attention right away. If the bat is actually available, the health unit can send it off for testing, and hopefully that bat will come back negative. In children, it's a little bit different. Any direct contact with a bat. So even if a bat lands on their clothing, or you find them in the bedroom at night, we should consider that direct contact with a bat. Children are, you know, it's a little bit harder for them to communicate what their actual exposure is. So best to err on the side of caution. If a child has woken up and there's a bat in the room, or you know, they think it's landed on their clothes or on their pajamas, then do seek medical attention and give us a call here at the health unit, because we can help risk assess as well.
Okay. You talk about that risk of being, or after you've made contact with a bat, calling the health unit and making sure that you do seek the medical attention is absolutely mm-hmm. the biggest point there to make, because time is really of the essence here, isn't it?
It really is. And like I said, we can help risk assess. So give us a call at 1-800-660-5853, or even, you know, after hours or on the weekend. Again, we do have an after hours on-call system here at the health unit that you can give us a call. And it's our main telephone line at 613-345-5685. But it is also very important that if you think you've been exposed to a bat, that you do seek medical attention as well from your healthcare provider.
Now, the concern, of course, is, you know, bats in your home, because that's where it's close contact. You know, there can be panic on the part of the animal. And then, you know, that's where you're most likely to get bitten or to have that contact with a bat, because outside they pretty much keep to themselves. They they don't allow themselves to come into contact with humans. So you have to ask yourself, how do I prevent them from coming into my house in the first place?
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, if you find a single bat in your home, you know, maybe try to isolate that bat to a room, open up some windows and doors, and just let it have an opportunity to escape. Most bats that get into our house accidentally are healthy bats, but we don't really want them in there because we don't want to be bitten. We don't want our kids or our pets to be bitten by that bat. If you're actually finding a colony in a garage or in an attic or in a barn, it is important to call either a pest control company or a wildlife services company. They can come out and help get rid of that colony, so that you're not exposing yourself to their feces or to the actual bat where there's risk of being bitten. The other thing they can do is they can do an inspection of your home or whatever outbuilding it may be, and they can provide some advice on how to actually bat-proof the building. So oftentimes that's, you know, sealing up different holes, different entry points around your soffit, things where there may be holes in the actual building that can allow the bats to get in. So they'll provide that advice and help you with that task.
What about pets?
Yeah, it's really important to have your pets vaccinated. Even the indoor cat and the indoor dog, it is important. Bats do occasionally accidentally get into our homes where there could be exposure. Just as a reminder, the health unit will be hosting low-cost vaccination clinics again this September. So it will be September 14th. The cost, again, is going to be $20. And we are in the midst of organizing those clinics. So once it gets closer to the date, we'll definitely be posting information on our website, and I'm sure we'll be talking about it again.
Okay, I've got to share this with you because here's what not to do. Okay, now I grew up in the city in Ottawa. I moved out here about 20 years ago to Smiths Falls. My wife grew up in the country, of course, and has no fear of animals, big or small. But of course, you know, I'm that city guy. We had a bat in our house. She put on the thick gloves, like you were talking about. She talked to it gently. And she managed to actually get a hold of this bat. It was a smaller bat. Again, she had the thick gloves on. She knew what to do, right? Mm-hmm. What you don't do is once your wife or your significant other, your partner has got that bat in the hands to ensure that the bat does not escape. You don't throw a thick comforter over both your wife the bat.
No.
And then proceed to let her fall down the two steps that are outside of your house.
Oh, no.
So this is just a method that I'm sharing with you because you don't want to use it.
No.
No.
Definitely not.
Turns out the bat and my wife were both okay. But that was bat encounter. We tried opening the windows and all that. It was myself and my stepson home. We could not get it out. She came home within 5 minutes. She had this. She's a bat whisperer. She had this bat and it was out safely.
Aww.
She unfortunately was not out safely.
Poor lady.
Anyway, she understood. She understood the difference in culture there. I guess we'll call it that. Had to share
That's
it.
Great.
Had to share it. But I know now not to panic. I just call my wife.
Yeah, there you go. For exactly. Sure.
So if people would like to get some more information on the actual serious methods and also about rabies and bats in general, there's some different resources that the health unit offers.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, go to our website, healthunit.org, and then click on the rabies tab. And we have lots of good information on rabies in general. And then, of course, bat rabies. And just to your point, Health Canada has a wonderful fact sheet on how to get rid of bats out of home, and throwing a comforter over your wife is not one of them.
Hey, it's my blanket approach.
Yeah, there you go.
Fantastic. So head on over to healthunit.org to get more of those resources. Kim, it's always fun when you're here. Always great information that you pass along. Thank you so much for joining us on In Focus today.
Take care.
All right. Kim McCann, Senior Public Health Inspector with the Leeds Grenville Atlantic District Health Unit on this edition of In Focus. I'm Bob Perreault. Thanks so much for listening.